Blog Talk Radio.
K-Classic. Oh, ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die. But ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my line. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night.
To be here today. I'm excited. We'll be talking about prayer. We're going to continue to talk about spiritual discipline. One of the things that God has given us is the gift of prayer. He has given us that gift to be able to communicate with Him. And as believers, prayer is essential. Oh, hallelujah. We must pray about everything. Everything we need to pray. We need to pray when we get up. We need to pray when we're eating food. We need to pray throughout the day. We need to intercede for people. We need to pray when we're going to bed. We need to pray. The Bible says to pray always. Do not cease from praying. We are to always pray. And so I'm excited about the teaching today. I know a lot of people may struggle with praying, and their prayer life may be a struggle. And the Lord was reminding me, sometimes we don't put Him, we say that He's number one, He's ahead of our life, but sometimes God will call us up into the midnight. He'll call us into the 3 a.m. to pray. And many times we'll just lay there in the bed, but let it be in a very important appointment or a job or an interview, we would get up. And so God wants us today to treat Him as if you was going to an important interview. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. Like you about to finish go on a date at 1 a.m. in the morning on your first date. You'll get up and get all pretty up and all handsome up, and you'll get up, get yourself together to be on time on that day. And so sometimes when we lay there in that bed and God is saying at 1 a.m., He says, get up to pray. And sometimes we'll just lay there. And but God, hallelujah, God is more important than anything on this earth. We have to understand that God is sometimes our mind is not where it needs to be concerning God. And God wants our prayer life to be to step up today. And so I know this word is for someone today. God is speaking to you right now. God is speaking to you today. If you're not is not edifying in your prayer life, God is calling you today. He's talking to you today. Dear Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, to lift you up today, to glorify us, God. Lord, we ask that you illuminate your word, oh God. Let me speak with power and authority, oh God, and let me speak with clarity of what I'm trying to give out to your people today, God. Lord, I bless your name today, for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Today, we'll be coming from the book of Genesis. We'll be coming from the 24th verse, the first verse to the 13th. And we know prayer. You know, even with Jesus, he prayed. He prayed to the Father many, many times. And he also prayed for his disciples. He in the 17th chapter of John, he said, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And so Jesus is praying for you today. He said, my prayer is not for you to come up out of the world. He said, I know you've been going through a lot of things and the enemy may be afflicting you, but he said, but I'm going to protect you from the evil one. Somebody need to get excited today. God is protecting you from the evil one, where that you could have lost your mind or you could have died. I know many times when I was out there in the world, many times that I was in a situation that I knew that it was only by the hands of God that had his hands on me, because I was doing some things that I had no business doing, and I was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and I knew that it was only God, oh hallelujah, that kept his hands upon me, where he reserved me for this time so I can be able to preach the gospel to his people. And so God is saying that I'm like praying that you come out of this world, but I'm praying that God protect you from the evil one, that God will give you tools, that God will give you the fruit to fight this battle, to press on towards the mark of the high calling, press towards your destiny, press towards what God has called you to do. God has said, I'm protecting you. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless your name. You know, I was thinking about prayers. Prayers, oh, hallelujah. Prayer can destroy yoke. Oh, hallelujah. Prayers to God will open up doors that no man can open. Oh, somebody need to get excited. It wasn't that you had favor at your job. It's because God opened up that door for you. You know, God will open a door where you can be the employer, and then he can move you into management, and then all of a sudden you'll find yourself being the CEO. Oh, hallelujah. That's what prayer will do. Prayer will open up doors that no man can open up. Oh, hallelujah. Bless you. I'm excited today. The Bible said, do not despise small beginnings. You may be working in a fast food restaurant right now, but do not despise small beginnings. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Oh, hallelujah. Bring forth a harvest of wheat. Just a seed, just a small seed, you know, oh, hallelujah, just a small seed. Do not despise small beginning. I'm trying to get to my text here. Oh, hallelujah. As a leader, we are to constantly be in an attitude of prayer. We need to be constantly in an attitude of prayer. The Bible said to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And so when we enter into his courts, we need to be excited to enter into his course. We need to be thankful that God has opened up the door. The Bible says he has broke down the barrels of Jews and Gentiles. And so the Bible says we can come boldly into the throne of grace and find help in a time of need. So we ought to be excited that we no longer have to go through priests and all those other rituals for God to hear our prayers. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. Philippians 4:16 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Make your request be made known unto God. Many times we are so anxious about things. We worry about things. I'm guilty of it. I told myself today, I say, you know, I have to trust God more because sometimes, you know, we worry about things. You know, that's just our natural human nature that we worry about things. But God is saying he wants us to totally trust him. Totally trust him. Sometimes we worry about things that we have no business worrying about, especially things that we can't change. The only thing that we can change is we can go to God in prayer and to ask God whatever our petition is, to help us, God, to open up this door, close this door, whatever our petition is. He said, do not be anxious for anything, but everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, hallelujah. So all our problems, or that we have, we don't have any problems. Why? Because we already petitioned it up to God. We already gave it to him. Okay? And so today we're going to be coming from the 24th chapter of Genesis. Today we're going to talk about prayer. We're talking about prayer. And I'm going to talk about, we're going to talk about Jacob, Isaac, and Rebecca. And we're going to talk about Eleazar. Yes. So that's Jacob's servant. And so, you know, the sum of the story is basically that Jacob, you know, he was at his old end and he wanted a wife for Isaac. And so he told his servant to go to summon a wife for Isaac. And so this is what we're going to read here, starting at the 21st verse. Of Genesis. It said, Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day Abraham said to the oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, that you would not allow my son to marry one of these local Canaanite women. And so one of the reasons why I said Jacob, huh? We're talking about Abraham. Sorry, Abraham. And so one of the things why Abraham did not want Isaac to marry into the Canaanites, because they were full of idolatry. They was filled, they worship all different type of statues and different things. They Murdoch was one of the gods they worship. And so he did not want Isaac to take any woman from the Canaanites as a wife. So he tells his servant to go back into his hometown and said, go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac. Okay? And so this servant's name is Eleazar. His servant asked, but what if I can't find a young woman who is willing to travel so far from home? Should I then take Isaac there to live among your relatives in a land you came from? No, Abraham responded. Be careful never to take my son there. Okay? And so you know, even though that Abraham told him to go to his homeland to find a Abraham told his son to go to his homeland to find a wife for Isaac, yet he did not want his son to be exposed to the things in his homeland. And so he said, be careful never to take my son there, for the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house in my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. Okay, he's talking about Canaan. Okay, and so we know when God told Abraham that he was going to give the land to him, the land was already occupied by the Canaanites. Okay, and so, but yet, you know, Abraham is still in the midst saying, you know what, this is my land. Oh, hallelujah. That's a word for somebody right now. You might be in the midst of something, and God is saying, you know what, you stand still, you stand firm, you say, because this is yours, okay? It might not look like it's yours, it might belong to somebody else, but God said, you just continue to stand right there where you are, and because what I told you is yours, it's yours. When I say it's coming to pass, it's coming to pass. And so Abraham would say, you know, God swore to me that this land is going to be my descendants. It's going to belong to me and my descendants. He said, no, I'm not going nowhere. Yeah, the Canaanites might be here. I'm going to stand still. Why? Because God said it's mine. Oh, hallelujah. God said it's mine. He will see this angel ahead of you, and he will send to you that you, he said, Abraham said, be careful never to take my son there. For the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and my native land, solemnly promised to give this land to my descendants. Okay? He will send his angel ahead of you, and he will see to it that you find a wife there for my son. If she is unwilling to come back with you, then you are free from this oath of mine. Okay, this is what Abraham is telling his servant Eleazar. But under no circumstances are you to take my son there. So the servant took an oath by putting his hands under the thigh of his master's Abraham. He swore to follow Abraham's instruction. Okay, then he loaded 10 of Abraham's camels with all kinds of expenses, gifts from his master. And he traveled to distant Aram, and then he went to the town where Abraham's brother Nahor had settled. Okay, so here we go. He said he made the camel kneel beside a well just outside the town. It was evening, and the woman was coming out to draw water. Okay, he said, oh Lord, God of my master, Abraham, he prayed, please give me success today and show unfailing love to my master Abraham. See, I am standing here beside this spring, and the young woman of the town are coming out to draw water. This is my request. I will ask one of them, please give me a drink from your jug. If she says yes, have a drink, and I will water your camels too. Let her be the one you have selected as Isaac's wife. This is how I will know that you have shown unfailing love to my master. Okay, so before he had finished praying, that's a word for someone. Before he had finished praying, he saw a young woman named Rebecca coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. And so that's a word. Before he finished praying, he already petitioned God. He already asked God what he wanted. And what he wanted, he said, this woman to come out with a jug. And she began to start getting water from the well. And she said, I give you water and give your camels water. He said, that is the one. He said, before he finished praying, oh, here come Rebecca. But the prayer had already been answered. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but before you can be praying, oh, hallelujah. You think this thing that you have been petitioning God is going to take a long time? No, it's not going to take a long time. God said, before you can just turn around, that prayer is going to be answered for you. Why? Because you've been diligently seeking me for this prayer. You've been constantly praying me. You've been constantly, like the widow woman, she was constantly seeking justice for her issue that she had. And the man said, why? Because she bothered me, because she was the unjust judge. He said, because she kept pursuing me. He said, I'm going to give her what she asked for, not because I want to see justice, but because this woman keep bothering me. She keep asking me. And what does God want you to do? He said, because you keep being diligent in your prayer, God is saying, I'm going to give you your request. I'm going to give you what you're asking for. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Prayer is the key. Prayer will open up doors. Prayer will shut doors. Prayer will give you favor on your job. God said that he will make your enemy at peace with you. Okay? That's what prayer will do. I'm reminded of Daniel. He prayed, the Bible said he prayed 3 times a day, okay? He opened up his curtains and he prayed, bowed down and prayed 3 times a day. And as he prayed toward Jerusalem, okay? He knew it was a decree saying, do not pray to any other god but Darius. But yet, Daniel was obedient to God. And I'm not here to tell you, the key is that we have to be obedient to God. I was working out with a friend yesterday, a friend girl, and she began to talking about like forces and how she is forced and forced this and about spiritual force and all that. I said, hey, wait a minute. You know, I said, you know, I only believe in one God, and that's Jesus, that's God. I believe I have one God that I believe in. He said, oh, no, no. But see, I had to take a stand. I listened to it. I humbled myself. I was quiet for a minute. But when she got to talking about what I need to do about force, I don't care, friend or no friend. I had to let her know, listen, hey, you know what I believe in. You know what I stand for. And so many of us are not standing for Jesus. Some of us are just not standing for what we stand for concerning the gospel of Christ. And God is saying, all you need to do is just take a stand, okay? He said, all you got to do is take a stand. And so many of us, you know, people, some of us, some people don't even know that we're Christians, okay? You know, because our conduct, the way we hold conversation with people, they think it's okay. You know, say, God said, I just need somebody today to take a stand. Take a stand. And so we see Daniel, he prays, says, three times a day, Daniel is in Daniel 6, verse 10. It said, Daniel always prayed to God three times a day. Three times every day, he bowed down on his knees to pray and praise God. Even though Daniel heard about the new law, he still went to his house to pray. Okay? And so he went up to the upper room of his house and opened up the windows and faced towards Jerusalem. Then Daniel bowed down on his knees and prayed, just as he always had done. And so we see King Darius, hallelujah, had put out a decree that no one pray to their God, but only one that can pray and pray to him and honor him. And Daniel said, no, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to take a stand. I'm not going to pray to no King Darius, but I'm going to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so the Bible says in the 21st verse, Daniel had been, because he was praying to God, he was thrown into the lion's den. And so in 21, Daniel answered the king. He said, live forever, king. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel. Oh, hallelujah, because he stood still and he stands on God, he stood on the promise of God, and he stood on his belief or what he believed in, and he trusted God. He said, he had sent his angels to save me. An angel closed the lion's mouth, okay? The lion had not hurt me because my God knows I am innocent, and I never did anything wrong to the king, okay? And so Daniel had favor with God. He had favor with God. And so I always say that, you know, we as one thing that God has given us is a voice. He has given us a voice. God wants us to pray to him. And not only he wants us to pray to him, but he wants to speak to us. A lot of times we pray and we get up. We get up. We don't finish. We don't allow God to speak with us. We just get up and we just go on by business. But God wants, he wants to speak with you. He wants to talk with you. No one is born knowing how to pray. I have to say that. That was one of my weaknesses. Well, you know, and another thing I have to say, too, if you don't use it, you will lose it, okay? You might be a good prayer. You might be praying scripture, but let it be a season where you're not praying, you're not studying, you will lose it. You will lose your prayer life like you will lose anything else, you know, as far as like working out. You ain't worked out in a long time, and you start working out, and then you all of a sudden you want to go back a year later and you think that you won't still have that same cinema, you're not going to have it, okay? And so we have to stay connected. We have to stay connected with God in our prayer life. And so we have to stay connected with God, not just on a every once in a while basis, but we have to stay connected with God every day. Just like we put on clothes, you know, God has to be a part of our lifestyle. He has to be a part of our lives, all right? The Bible said that man does not live by bread alone, but every word proceeded out of the mouth of God. Well, we cannot live without prayer, saints. We cannot live without communicating, having a dialogue with God. Prayer can stop calamities. Sometimes God will put some people on my mind, and you know, he'll put some people on my heart, and instantly I would just start praying for them, okay? I'm not going to sit here and say that it is easy. You have to prayer is a gift. You have to manifest fruit in that area. When you begin to start manifesting fruit in that area, then it won't be a struggle. But for some people, it's a struggle to get up and pray in front of people and to pray and get up and seek God. And when some people ask you to pray for them, you get anxiety and you get fearful. You know, so these are some things that we have to put into practice. This is about spiritual discipline, okay? And so when God has put people on my heart, I don't know why God has put people in my heart, but I just pray for them. And sometimes I can talk to a person and they say, I say, you know, I was just praying for you this morning. And they say, oh, thank you, because I was just going through something that this morning as well. So we never know. We never know. We need to pray for our children. We never know. We need to pray before we get in our car that God will protect us from any car accidents or any type of thing. You know, we need to pray, saints. We need to pray. We need to continue to pray. We need to pray for the nation. We need to pray for those that are going through in other countries. We need to pray for our nation. You know, the voting and for the new president is coming up real soon. We need to pray. We need to pray. And so many things that's going on, you know, planes, we don't know, it's terrorists. We need to pray. We need to always pray. Do not stop praying, okay? Prayer changes things, okay? Prayer can change your environment. Prayer can cause your enemies to bless you. And all of a sudden, you might have a coworker that's giving you problems at your job, your manager, your supervisor. All of a sudden, you're praying for them, And what the enemy meant from harm to afflict you, God will turn it around for your good. God will turn it around for your glory, okay? And so you have to believe it. The prayer will break generational curse. Okay, we have special laying hands on these children, praying for them. Just lay your hands on them, pray for them. God, we're praying against the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of influencement. Our kids have been influenced in our school. Those are many things that we should be praying for, saints. Okay, praying for one another. Okay, praying for the body of Christ, praying for the church. We need to pray, you know. And so when we go into God's presence with prayer, we should have an attitude that, God, you have already done what I have asked you in my prayer. Okay? You heard what Eliezer said. He said before he stopped praying, amen, the prayer had already been answered. Okay? And so when we go into God's presence, we should have the attitude that, Lord, you have already done what I have asked you in my petition. Okay? And we need to close this out with amen. Okay? God, we thank you. Okay? And so prayer can change our environment. Oh, my goodness. Prayer, when the enemy meant for harm, God will turn it around for your good. Prayer can cause you to have favor with man. Okay? A lot of times when we're going to work or we're on a job or we're out in public or in whatever, we need to pray. We need to pray. Okay? Just like we can't live without food, we cannot live without prayer, saints. We cannot live without prayer. I'm reminded of the First Kings. I'm reminded of First Kings where Elijah, when he came up against the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asher and Ahab and Jezebel. When he came up against them, he said, the God that answered by fire, let him be God. Okay? All right. And so we see that so many other people have followed after pagan gods. Okay? But he said, but the God that answered by fire, let them be God. And so I'm going to read it right here. It says, and then Elijah called to the people, come over here. They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord, and they had been torn down. He said 12 stones. 12 stones represent the 12 tribes, okay? One to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stone to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons, okay? He plied wood on the altar, cut the wood into pieces, and laid the piece of the wood. Then he said, fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood. Okay, and they had done this, and he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, now do it 3rd time. So not just 1 time. He said, I want to make sure it's wet. Because he said, but the God that answered by fire, let it be God. So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. At the usual time for the offer, the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, okay? Prove that I have done all of this at your command. Oh, Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people would know that you, oh, Lord, and God, and that you have brought them back to yourself. And so God, what he was saying was, God, do this so we can bring your people to repentance, okay? Do manifest your power. Manifest your glory so these people can then know that you are the God, that you are the true only God, that they can turn around and repent, okay? Immediately, the fire of the Lord splash down from heaven and burn up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. He even licked up all the waters in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, He is God." Yes, the Lord, hallelujah, is God. Yes, He is God. He is God, the God that has about fire. Okay, and he licked everything up, okay? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And then after he did that, then he said, Elijah commanded, since all the prophets of Baal, okay? Okay, and so we see prayer changes things, okay? Where people was following pagan gods, okay, they turned around and began to start praising God. Oh, yes, now we know that you are the true and living God. Oh, hallelujah. Spiritual discipline. I'm telling you, if you just try, just press yourself to get up when God tells you to get up. Set a certain time that you may want to get up and just reserve God and say, God, this 5 minutes, it's 10 minutes, it's 15 minutes, it's 30 minutes, this hour is for you, God. And I tell you, once you begin to exercise your prayer life, you will see your life change. Your life will never, never be the same. And so I'm just thankful. I pray that you understood everything. I know I was a little on fire, excited about the word today, but prayer, we need to pray, saints. This is a time in this season that we definitely need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray, pray, pray. We need to pray over our food. We don't know who preparing it. We don't know what kitchen our food is coming out of, but we need to pray that God cover and protect it, that He cleanse it, that it don't harm our body. We need to pray. We need to pray. I pray that God open up your eyes to His teaching today. I pray that you are blessed. Lord, we thank you. We honor you, Lord. We ask that you increase our prayer life, God. Ask that you increase our stamina to seek you early, God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I ask you to give us the strength to overcome every obstacle, oh God. And we pray that we continue to trust you, God. Trust you, Lord. Trust you with our lives. Trust you with our children's lives. Trust you with our finances. Trust you with our lives, God. We just thank you. We honor you. We pray for increase in our prayer life, God. We thank you. We honor you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm so excited. We're coming down to the last couple of weeks of this year. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the next year that God, what God is doing in my life. I pray that I just pray that you was truly blessed by the teaching today. And I look forward to whatever God is doing in your life and what God is doing in my life. Lord, I thank you. I'm excited. I'm excited. So anyway, I see you. I will talk with you next week. God bless you. Enjoy your week. Bye-bye.